Proverbs chapter number 4, if you want to go there, we'll start there. That the Lord has, the Spirit of God has informed me that it is a much bigger issue in many Christians' lives than they realize. I got that by the Spirit. And I'm a Christian, so he's talking to me too, you know. Amen. And so without a prayer life, what I'm going to share with you this morning could be just a sermon, go in one ear and out the other, and you won't catch it where it should be applied to your life, and some things changed. Amen. You might get a flashlight in this service, but it'll fade away, and you'll go out, and you'll think the real issue's maybe something else. But I'm going to give you the Lord what the Lord has informed me is a bigger issue in most Christians' lives than they realize. And Proverbs 4, I want to start there in verse number, you know this passage, my son, attend to my words and all that. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those that find them, and health or medicine to all their flesh. Isn't that right? And then he said, keep thy heart. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Now, we read in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said something to guard our heart from. And I want to emphasize this morning. He said in John 14, verse number 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my own peace, my peace I give to you, King James says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Amplified says, stop allowing yourselves. Remember to be agitated and fearful and so forth. And troubled. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. So when it says in Proverbs, guard your heart, we could say one of the things, according to Jesus' statement, to guard against is fear getting in your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. And God has endeavored to get across to me for a number of months something in this area that I'm just starting to get a little light on. Amen. And so I want to, if you'll believe God with me for utterance, share some of this with you. You remember Job said, the thing I greatly feared, is come upon me. Well, that just simply means that Job didn't guard his heart. And he got over into the arena of fear. And it opened the door for the devil to put it on him. Just like faith in God opens the door for God in our life, fear is the devil's faith. Fear is the devil's faith. It'll open the door to the devil. Fear is a confident expectation of something of evil. Not of something good, of something evil. Say amen if you can. So he said in this verse here in Proverbs 4, King James says, keep your heart. The Amplified says, keep and guard your heart. And it says something to the effect, I don't have it written down here in front of me, but it says something to the effect, above all that you guard, or something like that. Is that close? Something to that effect, above all that you guard. In other words, we lock our cars and our houses and so forth. Well, he said, don't do all that and forget about your heart. Guard what's getting into your heart. You're guarding who gets in your house by locking your doors. So guard your heart. Above everything. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Now, I don't know if you can handle it or not, but what that verse is saying is, if your life keeps going a certain direction, it's coming out of your heart. That's what that verse is saying. Or my heart. Now, somebody said, are you talking about good things or bad things? Both. Both. Good things and bad. Whether it's the direction you want to go in life or not, that's the direction you're going to go if that gets in your heart. If the fear of divorce gets in your heart, that's where you're going. Now, it has to be just like the Word of God has to get planted as a seed, and it has to keep on growing and become great before it'll manifest. Remember, Job didn't say the thing I feared came on me. He said the thing I greatly feared. In other words, he kept watering that fear. He kept attending to what the enemy was saying until that fear became great, and then the devil cashed in on it, and he got the harvest off of that fear. Amen. And so these are things that people they might have dealt with fear in some areas, but the Spirit has informed me that this is a much bigger issue in Christians' lives than most of them realize. Now, I'm a Christian, so he's talking to me. And I've been aware over the last few months there's something he's trying to get across to me in this area. And when I got back from Pennsylvania, I woke up the next morning and he started talking to me about it. You believe God with me to get some of this out?
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's fears that people, you know, maybe are more familiar with. But let's talk about some things like fear of failure. Amen. How about fear of trouble? That's what Job was afraid of. You know, things have been going good, and you're like, oh, I know it's going good, but I just, you know, something's bound to happen, you know. That's fear of trouble. That's fear of something happening, even though things are going good. How about fear of making a wrong decision? That paralyzes people. They get stuck in life because, well, I just can't make a decision. Well, you not making a decision many times is the wrong decision. Especially, and I'll say particularly, if it's because of fear you're not making a decision. Now, sometimes not making a decision is the right thing because you don't have any leading about something from the Spirit of God. But if it's fear keeping you from making the decision keeps coming up in your heart, that's the wrong decision. You already made the wrong decision to not do anything, to not make a decision. Why would people not make a decision? They're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. I don't want to make the wrong decision. Well, go with peace. And if you find out later that was I was missing it somehow, wasn't understanding something, there's mercy there. But don't stay stuck.
Amen.
Keep on moving forward. How about fear of failure. How about fear of failure financially? Amen. I've noticed in building a house, you're making decisions one after the other. What if that's the wrong decision? Every now and then, what if that's the wrong decision? What if I don't know enough about construction, which I don't? I've got to follow a piece, you know. What about that? What about that? And they're asking, rightly so, what do you want to do in this? Right? Well, you know, it just seems like this ought to be done. Well, what if you do that? And I don't want to get into the details of it, but there's things all the time. Well, what if we do that and there's not enough air gap behind there and that doesn't keep dry out and it gets all rotten and then I waste a lot of money? You know, just a lot of things like that. You got to ask yourself the question, what's motivating this decision? Am I afraid? Am I afraid of making a wrong decision? What's making me do this? And sometimes it's a fear of failure where you put money into something and then you lose the money. And that's the wrong decision because you didn't do it in faith. Amen. Well, so there's a lot of fears people have. Somebody told me one time, I didn't look it up because I'm not interested, but they said there's a big dictionary about that thick full of people's fears. They've diagnosed all these fears. I mean, people are afraid of everything in their shadow on top of that. Afraid of flying, afraid of all kinds of stuff. Every piece of fear is of the devil. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Notice he called it a spirit. How many of you know as a spirit, it'll talk to you? It'll say something to you. And it'll say, if you do that, you're going to fail. You make that decision, you're going to lose all your money. Now, just because, listen, don't misunderstand me. If you don't have peace about it in your heart, that's a different deal. But I'm talking about all this stuff that's coming against you out here. And this is what's binding people up. Remember the Bible said in Romans 8, verse number, 16, 17? Well, it's verse number 15, I guess. He said, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, fear is bondage. It's bondage. You're not free whenever you're bound by fear. And whenever these things come against you and paralyze you and keep you from making a decision and moving forward, because what's going to happen? Where are we going to get the money? What, you know, so forth and so on. You're in bondage. That's where the devil wanted you to be. Amen. And so he's telling us to guard our heart from these things getting in. And the Lord said to me, if you don't have a prayer life, these things can be present and you don't even recognize it. It's been there since a child, and it's never, you just thought it's part of your personality. No, it's not a part of the new nature. It's not a part of the new creation. Fear is not a part of your new creation. Well, what if I fail? Well, how long have you been sitting on that? Just not doing anything. That's not succeeding either. Sitting on and doing nothing's not succeeding. Amen. Amen. But according to this, he said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Out of it are the issues of life. What he's saying here is success comes out of your heart. Failure comes out of your heart. So you and I, when he says guard your heart, he's saying we're responsible for what gets in our heart. Isn't that right? Well, I don't know why. I don't know how this just keeps. It's because we've allowed it. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. You know what that means? You got to answer it when it shows up. I've had fear hit me so strong that it almost paralyzes you. You can't even hardly talk. I could tell you stories about it. But see, that's a spirit is what that is. And when that spirit comes, you got to say, I rebuke you and resist you in the name of Jesus. You get behind me. Well, I just have all the feelings. It's like I get paralyzed. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Fear, I've noticed this about fear, it'll slam you. I mean, it'll just wham. And you know when it does it most of the time? When you get a bad report. When you get a bad report. Something is said. The doctor says something. Somebody says something about a financial situation or something. And fear just slams you. You know why he does that? You know why fear slams you like that? It's to jar you and to shake you, to overwhelm you, to get you alarmed. And he's contacting your senses. You can even feel it in your physical body sometimes. He's trying to contact your physical senses to get you in the flesh rather than in the spirit. He wants to hold you in that place of, and he wants to get your attention on it. Boy, he's done that to me. But I've had to learn, don't go there. It's your attention on it that connects you with it. You get connected to fear by keep on attending to what the devil's saying, the fearful things he's saying. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And he said in this verse, guard against that, because it gets in you, your life's going to start going that direction. Isn't that what he's saying? Out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Now, the psalmist said something very interesting in, we won't turn there, but Psalm 56, verse number 3. I don't want you to just hear a good sermon this morning. I want you to find out in your prayer life, where is it that this thing right here is affecting my life? Because do you believe what the Spirit of God said to me? This is a bigger issue. This is a bigger issue in Christians' lives. Much bigger issue, he said, in Christians' lives than they're aware of or they realize. Amen. So let's spend some time and get this all exposed. Amen. Psalm 56, verse number 3, the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will put my trust in thee. Now you analyze that, and according to the word, it doesn't make sense. There's no such thing as fear and faith at the same time. Remember Jesus said to Jairus when he got that bad report, don't trouble the master, your daughter's dead. He said, fear not. Jesus said, fear not, believe only. In other words, you can't have both. Only faith, no fear. Well, then why did the psalmist say, what time I am afraid, I'll put my trust in thee? What he's talking about is just because it slams him, just because it hits him, And jars him. You understand what I'm talking about? Doesn't mean that he's letting it in. You understand that? You've not failed and you've not yielded to fear because it slammed you. You understand that? Just because something comes doesn't mean you've yielded to it. But boy, that time, when it comes, you have every feeling of it. You have every emotion that you're in fear. And you can say, Mr. Devil, I don't take your fear. I'll illustrate it this way. One time, Brother Hagin, because he was healed of terminal disease, and really three terminal diseases. But one time he started, because he said that little thing, he said a fear followed him around like a little puppy dog. For years after that, that disease would come back, all those diseases would come back on him. He told about how when he got free from it, he was meditating on the word, and he realized that that was fear, and he got up and kicked it out. He said, I'm not going to die, not this year. I'm not going to die next year. You remember that? He did that. But anyway, he said, he one time, the devil said, I got you. During that time, that fear kept dogging him. The devil said, I got you. I got you. You're afraid. You're afraid. And Brother Hagin said, I'm not afraid, Mr. Devil. He said, yes, you are. Look at your hands. He looked down at his hands. His hands were trembling in fear. Mr. Devil said, Brother Hagin said, Mr. Devil, that's just my body. My body might be feeling all the effects of fear, but I'm not letting it on the inside of me. Hallelujah. You remember Psalm 112? I don't remember all the verses. He said, the man that trusts in the Lord, his heart is fixed. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. His heart is not moved. He said he's not moved by fear. If you read the whole thing, he's not moved by fear. Fear wants to move your heart. You can have all the feelings of it on the outside. You know, Mr. Devil, nope. In my heart, I'm staying exactly where I am. I'm standing on what I believe. Hallelujah. And you can say, I am not afraid. God has not given me a spirit of fear. Amen. Because if it gets into you, your life will start going that direction. You remember Dr. Dufresne got the bad report about cancer? You remember somebody said, that was bad. He said what was really, what was so real to him was, as soon as he got the report, he said he could feel fear. It started in his toes and rising up. He said he knew if it got up and got into his spirit, he's done for. And he said, no, you don't. You go back down, you get out of here. Amen. See, the disease, what he knew was the disease is not the big issue. What gets into his spirit is the big issue. What gets into a man's spirit is the big issue. Amen. I remember a lady in healing school. I told you this story a number of times. She was a nurse. She came to healing school for healing of cancer. And you might remember after 3 days, I recognized the words bouncing off, not going into her. And so I said, Lord, what is it? I just had it in my heart to talk to her. And I engaged her in conversation after one of the services. I think it was after the third service or so. And whenever I engaged her in conversation, everything coming out of her is fear. And I realized that's what it is. Fear is keeping the word from really getting into her. Fear has gotten into her. And so I took her over to Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Remember that verse that says, particularly verse 15, I believe it is, he delivered them, Jesus, delivered them, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Notice that. Whatever you're afraid of makes you subject to it. That's what I meant when I said it's the devil's faith. So through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I just started showing this nurse sitting in that room there, I showed her what that verse said, that whenever you're afraid of something, it makes you subject to it. She had a good heart. The devil had duped her with a lack of knowledge. It wasn't that she was wrong-hearted, but she just didn't realize what she had done. As soon as she realized that it was fear that she had yielded to that opened the door to the cancer, she shut that door just as quick as you can snap your finger. And I just reached over and I said, in Jesus' name, we just say, fear, get out of here and be healed or something. I don't remember everything. Instantly, like you can snap your fingers, the pain left. She went back to the doctor, and the doctors diagnosed her and said, it's all gone. There's no. They ran the test, and it's all gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But my point is this. I didn't really address the cancer as much as I addressed the fear. The Lord said to Brother Hagin in healing school, the vision is twofold. He said, number one, raise up divine healing, right? Number one, ministering to the sick, of course. But number two, raising up divine healing technicians. What does that mean? In other words, people that minister to people by the Spirit just like a doctor would minister to them in the flesh. And a technician in the natural will diagnose and prescribe. And that's what we did by the Spirit. In this case, we diagnosed the problem. Somebody said it was cancer. No, fear. That was the diagnosis. Fear was the diagnosis. And so we didn't address the cancer as much as we addressed the fear. Does that make sense? Amen. Hallelujah. Many people are missing the mark, so to speak. They're thinking that the outward circumstances is what they need to address. No, it's what got into your heart. What you've allowed into your heart. Amen. That opened the door to the outward thing. Amen. Amen. I'm telling the truth about it. They think that in the situations of life, that it's all these outward things. Whenever actually the root of the whole thing is what got on the inside. Amen. What needed to be addressed in this lady's life was fear. And to be honest with you, it needed to be continually addressed because she left, got back out from under that teaching, and went and got afraid again and cancer came back. The doctor saw it had left, and the doctor saw it had come back. We went and visited her. After she left, she lived in New England. We visited her. We were on a trip up there ministering. We visited her, sat down, and talked to her, and saw that same fears back, and that's why the cancer came back. We ministered to her again. She got free again, but her pastor was there, and I knew he's not going to be able to help her because he's about half mad that I came to begin with, but she invited me, not him. You know, it does matter where you go to church. And he's about half mad, and anyway, I don't believe much in all this, and so forth and so on. And with sitting under that, she ended up going ahead and dying of cancer. Somebody said of cancer. No, she died of fear. Fear. We got to get this. Tell your neighbor, we're getting this. We got to stop falling for his strategies. Amen. All battles are spiritual at their core, not natural. I said all battles are spiritual at their core. Amen. You're not necessarily going to deal with, remember whenever Jesus ministered to the sick, for example, he didn't minister to them through natural means. Now, he must have not minded that because he had a man run around with him named Luke. He was a medical doctor. Not something wrong with doctors. It's just that he was ministering on a higher level. I mean, if you stay alive through a doctor for another day to serve Jesus, do it. Do it. Amen. And so, and Jesus was practical too. You ever notice that time he raised that girl from the dead? And then she'd been dead for a little while. He raised her from the dead and then he said, give her something to eat. Remember that? In other words, she needs some strength here. Get some food into her. Jesus is very practical. Very practical. And so, Jesus would minister through, he ministered divine healing. You understand what I mean by divine healing? In other words, he would not just deal with the physical stuff as much as he dealt with the heart issues. That's why he said to Jairus, fear not, believe only. That's not something that he did in his body. That's something that got into his spirit. He's telling him, don't let that fear in your spirit. In other words, whenever he got that bad report, that fear slammed him. And Jesus said, don't let that in. That'll shut the power down. That's basically what he's talking about. That'll shut the power down. Well, praise the Lord. That's what the Bible is talking about and referring to in Luke 21:36 when it says, men's hearts failing them for fear in the last days. Now, he's not talking about physical blood pumps failing them, although that too can happen because of fear. But he's talking about what happened over in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 17:11. The Bible talks about Saul's army standing for 40 days, listening to Goliath threaten them and say, come over and fight me. Remember that? And if you win, then we'll serve you and vice versa. And the Bible said over there, David showed up and said, let no man's heart fail him for fear. That's what Jesus is talking about in Luke 21. He said, last days people's hearts will fail them for fear. He's not talking about their blood pump stops beating. He's talking about their courage wilts away. And they don't any longer have a spirit of faith about them. And they're backing up at the devil's threats rather than moving forward like David, who had a spirit of faith. This is what defeats people, not the circumstances that say you can't. Amen. And so he's telling us a strategy of the enemy in the last days. Luke 21:36. People's hearts will fail them for fear. In other words, he wants to keep our spirits, Satan does, he wants to keep our spirits from producing the harvest off of the word we hear. And that's what that statement means. Fear causes faith to not produce for us. Amen. So we've got to learn to answer these things. All who succeed do so in the presence of fear. You got to get that. He said he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Right there in the presence of that yakety yak yak, that voice of fear. There's a table spread, and you're going to have to take it while that fear's yakety yak yak. Amen. Don't think, well, if I just didn't have to, you know, if I didn't have the fear coming against me, I could do it. No, everybody who succeeds has that coming against them. Everybody. But see, people aren't addressing that. They're addressing other issues and missing the mark. The battles are spiritual at their core. Did you get that? Amen. When one closes the door to what caused the manifestation of the disease or whatever the circumstances were in the natural realm, if one closes the door to that, what caused that? The resulting condition in the natural realm has nothing further to support or sustain it remaining there, and therefore it dies. This is called dealing with the root rather than addressing the fruit. Amen. I said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Are you getting anything out of this? So David said, what time I am afraid. In other words, when that thing slams me, I'm going to stay in faith. I'm going to answer that thing, and I'm going to say, not here. You're not getting on the inside of me. I'm guarding my heart. Job didn't guard his heart, so it got fear got into him, and it began to grow. The devil would love to use the fertile soil of your born-again human spirit to grow his crop. But it's up to you and I to decide, no, he's not growing his crop here. Amen. And so our life will go that way. Proverbs 4:23 is saying, out of our heart come the issues of life. In other words, the reason that life is going one way or another, constantly going one way or another, is because of what got into our heart. Whether it's good or bad. Whether it's something we want or don't want. Fear is a morbid thing. It ties you to the very thing you're afraid of. And so Job proved that what gets inside of you causes your life to go that direction. Isn't that right? He didn't guard his heart from fear, and it grew until it became great, and then his life started going that direction. He didn't attend to the word. He attended to the fear. What the devil kept saying, I'm going to destroy, you know, because he had all this prosperity. I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to destroy it all. I'm going to destroy it all. That voice just kept on coming to him. This kept on coming to him. And he listened to that and didn't answer that.
Yeah.
And it grew on the inside of him till that fear got a hold of him and conquered him. And then that opened the door to the devil. He opened the door to fear, and the fear opened the door to the devil. Remember Jesus said in John 14:30, he said in the Amplified, he said, the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. Nothing in me belongs to him, and he has no power over me or claim on me. In other words, the implication is when something of the enemy gets in us, Satan has the power over us. See, you can't yield to the devil and resist him at the same time. You can be out here resisting the cancer, but you're yielding to fear of dying of cancer. You can't resist him and yield to him at the same time. We're getting some help. We're getting some answers this morning. Amen. So Job kept attending to it. He kept watering that thing. He kept attending with his mind on that. And that fear grew, and it opened the door to the devil. And it was really the devil's faith. And allowed the enemy to do what he wanted to do. But how do you guard your heart? You got to guard the doors. And the main door is your thought life. When these things slam your thought life, Satan is, through your thoughts, trying to get into your spirit. Or get a spirit of fear into your spirit. Amen. And by entertaining those thoughts, they'll go down into your heart. He's trying to get you to take it. You remember Jesus said, take no thought saying? Satan wants to get you to take it. And that'll give him place. He can come and put the bondage on you that he wants to put on you. But we're to do the spiritual work to cast down imaginations and not be lazy in our thought life. Amen. You can be lazy spiritually just like you can be lazy physically. In other words, something comes and you just, I'm not going to resist that right now. Yeah, that's the enemy's open door. You know, Satan got Adam and Eve. He got Adam through, he got Eve through ignorance and deceiving her. He got Adam wide open, with his eyes wide open. Adam knew exactly what was happening. He just didn't do anything about it. And Satan got both of them. Equally got both of them. Selah. Amen. Selah means stop and think about it. In other words, if you don't know something, the enemy takes advantage of knowledge. But if you know it and don't do what the word says, he'll still take advantage of you, and he'll get you just as much as he got the person who didn't know. Amen. So, how do we guard our heart? We guard our thought life. And we judge these things. We cast down imaginations and refuse to be lazy. Amen. When people are lazy spiritually, all the efforts they put forth in the flesh to resist the bondage that is coming against them in the flesh will not counteract the effects that their lack of diligence in the spirit to deal with these things brings. Did you get that? People are busy trying to fix the poverty, fix the this, fix the that, fix the that, but they're not tending to hear. And all their efforts in the flesh will not counteract what's producing it. It's what got into their spirits. Amen. Amen. All your combined efforts of the flesh are no match for the devil. Somebody said, well, I'm greater is he that's in me. Yeah, that's in you, not you in the flesh. You, if you want to overcome the enemy, you have to act out of the greater one who's in you, not out of the efforts of the flesh. Amen. So you've got to learn to enter into the spirit realm and operate there and to walk in dominion over bondage that Satan seeks to hold you in by walking in the spirit. It's, how many of you know when it's not when these things come to you and I that we have been conquered. It's whenever we fail to do the word whenever they come. Amen. That's what I said. All who succeed do so in the presence of their enemies. It's there. That fear's there just like it's there in your life. I don't mean it's in you, but I mean it comes to your mind. It comes. But see, you got to do the right thing when it comes to your mind and answer it. Peter walking on the wind, walking on the waves, not the wind. He walked on the waves. He walked on the waves, and that fear was right there the whole time. You remember what it said? He said he heard Jesus say, come. He came down out of the boat and walked on the water. But when he saw the wind boisterous, notice, he was afraid. Notice that. When he saw, he was afraid. Now, wait a minute. You think Peter was blind when he was back in the boat and he didn't see the wind and the waves? No. They're fishermen. They watch the water all the time. They watch what's coming. They watch the waves. They watch how high they're getting. They watch which way the wind's coming. Fishermen, I mean, they watch those things, especially back there when you didn't have all the, you know, Weather Channel on your app and all that. Amen. So he had seen it all. What does it mean when he got down out of the boat and walked on the water? He saw. It means he got his attention on it. And when he saw the wind boisterous, notice, he was afraid. And what happened whenever he yielded to that fear? He started to sink. In other words, that was the end of the supernatural. And that's where the supernatural ends in our life. Whenever we get our attention on what the enemy's saying that produces fear. My goodness. Amen. We're going to have to deal with these things. And we're going to have to do it immediately. How many of you know Jesus said to Jairus, as soon as he heard the word, that bad report, he turned to Jairus and immediately he said, fear not. We can't be lazy. We can't let it run through our minds for a day or for an afternoon or for an hour. Deal with it right now. To do that, you're going to have a prayer life. You're going to have to be sharp. You're going to have to be aware of spiritual things and not just so caught up in natural things that you're not paying attention to what the devil's doing in the spirit. Amen. Amen. These are things that control people's lives. It's not all these outward things. Amen. People say sometimes, I just can't prosper. I just don't have enough opportunity. There's opportunity everywhere. Everywhere. Opportunity just standing there screaming at all of us. It's not a lack of opportunity. It's the fear that keeps you from stepping out on anything. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Jesus ministered what we call divine healing to those he ministered to back there in that day in the Bible, and he still does today. Amen. That means he heals through the spirits of men, through men's spirits. Amen. In other words, he heals by getting his imperishable seed into their spirits. That's called divine healing. Doctors are addressing natural things, and that can help. They can come to the end of that, and they can't help. You understand? But Jesus has a totally different way of doing things. He'll use doctors. But he's got something a whole lot better. So he ministers by divine healing. And that means he heals through men's spirits. Therefore, he addressed, when he walked the earth, what got into men's spirits in order to meet their need in the physical realm. In other words, it came through their spirits and manifested in the spiritual, in the physical realm. Amen. You get that? We need to get that. Remember Proverbs, it says, guard your heart. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you are God's garden. In other words, God, the way he produces the harvest you're looking for in your life is he gets his seed into your heart. That's where the victory is. And Satan watches God and he imitates him. He said, I see how God does that. I'm going to get my seed into him. I'm going to get fear into him. I'm going to get worry into him. I'm going to get doubt into him. I'm going to get discouragement into him. I'm going to get all these things into him. And because I see how that's how God works, I'm going to do that. And except I'm not out to bless him. God's out to get his word into us to bless us. Satan's out to get his stuff into us to defeat us. To shut down the power of God and to hold us in bondage. He's an imitator. Satan's an imitator of God. So when the Bible says you're God's garden, Satan knows that. And you need to know it, and I need to know it. And what we need to do is guard our garden. Guard our heart. Guard what's getting on the inside of us. Isn't that right? And he wants to get wants to get his fertile soil, his seed into the fertile soil of our heart so he can get a harvest in our lives of what he wants to have in our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord, we're learning this. I'm telling you, when fear slams you, you need to know what it is. It's an enemy. Right. Amen. And so we're told clearly in the scriptures that fear is bondage. Puts a man under Satan's dominion. In other words, you and I no longer have dominion over the circumstances of life whenever fear gets on the inside of us. We're now bound to Satan, not able to dominate over him. God's got an answer for that. It's called resisting the devil and not letting his seed on the inside of us. Amen. Because what fear does is it shackles us, paralyzes us. Amen. And reduces our faith down to little. Holds us in bondage. So whenever he said in Proverbs and then in 1 Corinthians 3:9, guard your heart, and you know, you're God's garden. He's talking about guarding our garden. We can do that. God wouldn't say to do that if we couldn't do that. What has to happen is, though, we have to pay attention to what Satan's doing, not just pay attention to natural things, but pay attention to what opened the door to that. Do you believe the Bible? 1 John 5:18 says, he that is begotten of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Can't even touch you. How does that happen? You got to keep yourself. He said, keep yourself. In other words, guard your heart. Guard your heart. You realize when people say things, you got to ask yourself the question, is that God's word or is that them talking? Amen. You got to guard your heart. You know, being around this past week, I heard people say sometimes, they would say, well, you know, you just can't control when you die. I said, the Bible said you can.
Yeah. Come on.
What am I doing? Guarding my heart.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes,
amen. Yeah. See, well, I won't get into all that, but praise the Lord. You got to just not let things in. You can't just be an open book for the devil and let him just put anything he wants to in you. Because it'll start producing after a while. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. Can you do that? Well, what if our heart's troubled? Well, God didn't help us. He didn't keep us from being bound by fear. No, we let it. Amen. Just because something comes doesn't mean that we have to let it in. He'll present us thoughts of fear. He'll present us feelings of fear. Amen. But we've not taken them just because they were presented to us. We take them if we turn them over in our mind. Now we're taking it. Amen. And a thought of fear doesn't equal you taking fear. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God's not given us a spirit of fear. Notice, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. The Spirit of God's been dealing with me. He said, power includes authority.
Yes. Yes.
God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of authority.
Yes.
In other words, what Paul is addressing when he says that, he's addressing the fact that you and I will be robbed of our ability to walk in our authority when we walk in fear. Amen. When we're yielding to the spirit of fear, it robs a believer of his rightful place of authority, walking in authority. In other words, over the affairs of life. We'll no longer be in dominion over them. They will be in dominion over us whenever we open the door to fear. Anybody seeing any areas where the Lord's helping you in your area, in an area of your life? We can't rule over the affairs of life whenever fear is ruling over our hearts. Amen. You can't be bold and draw back at the same time. In other words, be bold in faith. You can't be bold in faith and drawn back in fear at the same time. Hallelujah. Some of us are getting it. Really, fear is a toxic spiritual substance. It pollutes our faith. That's how our authority works, by the way, is through our faith. So Paul said in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. I like to say it this way. Don't give your place of authority to the devil.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil dominate over you whenever you should be dominating over him. Does that make sense? Well, let me close with some things about David in the Old Testament. Remember, 1 Samuel talks about Goliath threatening for 40 days. And the Bible said that they were all Saul and his whole army, the whole army, one man. The whole army is afraid of one man. Why do they let him set the rules?
Thank you. Come on now.
The rule was you can only send one man. Who said?
Yeah.
Even if one of you are afraid, get 25 of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go for the big jerk. You know what I'm talking about? The big ugly. You don't let the devil set the rules. That's just my thought. But anyway. See, fear will make you crazy. It'll make you stupid. You won't even think clear. If they hadn't have been afraid, even if one guy said, I don't think I can take him, but all of us go together. Let's take 25 of them over there. Why not the whole army? Don't let him set the rules. You set the rules. But fear makes you crazy. So put that in your refrigerator and quote it. Fear makes you crazy. You don't think right. That's what the Bible said. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. Sound mind. Fear robs you of sound mindedness. Anyway, that's just a side note. But David gets there and he said, what's everybody afraid about? You remember that? So that spirit had been talking through that man, making them afraid for 40 days. And their whole attention had been on what he said for 40 days. They didn't have a creative thought outside of what fear let them think for 40 days. They could have had a thought like this. Let's just all go after him right now. What if they said, those aren't the rules? We'd say, who cares? In war, forget the rules. It's who's bigger and who's badder. Tell our government that right now. Go tell them that right now. It's who's bigger or who's badder. But anyway, that's another thought. But thank you for helping me preach finally this morning. We dug this one out today. I'm telling you, we dug it out. But so they're listening to that. They're attending to that for 40 days. And their heart melted on the inside of them. And they were powerless against this guy. And David comes on the scene. And David had been meditating in the covenant and attending to the word, and he had been listening to another voice. Amen. I said amen. And when he got there, he wasn't paralyzed, shaking in his boots, paralyzed like all the rest of them. He said, what's going to happen for the guy that takes him? In other words, he's making his strategy. Amen. Hallelujah. And so what we find is David, you know, by the way, remember whenever the Bible said Peter was walking on the water, it said he saw the wind boisterous? That's the way the devil talks. He talks big and boisterous and loud and you're not going to make it. You know, he's real loud and, there's another voice, and people that say, I just don't hear God. I just, Satan's saying this and Satan's saying that. That's because he's more boisterous than God. You just have to tune in to the voice of the Lord. His voice is a still, small voice. Because whenever you have all power, you don't need to be boastful like Clyde Fickus. You know what I'm talking about? Remember my story of Clyde Fickus? They told me when I was back home, Clyde's trying to get a hold of you. He's looking for your cell phone number. I said, okay, we'll talk. But it doesn't change the fact that he was a bully for all those years until I had enough and I took Clyde Fickus. I beat the pulp out of Clyde Fickus. That doesn't change it. Yeah, we can talk, but I still beat the pulp out of you. I got all that stuffing out of him, and he walked away a little wee guy. You know what I'm talking about? Because it dawned on me one day, listen, he hasn't been throwing hay bales around for the last 5 years. I have been, and I'm ready for him. Come on, Clyde Fickus. See, I had been attending to a blowfish, you know, big and bad, making himself big and bad, and he's a little wee nothing. But that's the way the devil talks, boisterous. Well, I just don't hear God. Well, you can. He's talking. He's just not big and loud. He's a still small voice down in your heart. And listen, you know, well, God's not talking to me. If you turn your attention to him, he will. That's the way the devil is. When Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. In other words, Satan spoke through what he saw. Satan spoke through his attention going to something. Well, I just don't hear God. Turn your attention towards God. Remember over in Genesis, the Bible talks about the 15th chapter. God said to Abraham, go out and count the stars. See if you can count them all. And he's out there counting. And the Bible said, as he was counting the stars, the Bible said, and God said to him, so shall thy seed be. In other words, while he was attending to what God said, God spoke. While he's attending to looking at the stars, God talked to him. When you turn your attention towards God, he'll talk. You remember that angel when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin? Jesus and Brother Hagin were talking, and there was an angel standing beside Brother Hagin. Beside Jesus. And Brother Hagin said every time he'd look at the angel began to say something, and he would turn back and look at Jesus. See, you got to turn your attention towards God or what the message is, and that's when it'll come. But I just don't hear God. That's because your attention's on the devil. That's why he's talking, and you're hearing him so much. God's talking too. Oh, that's worth it right there. Oh, that's worth it right there. Hallelujah. When David got to the battle, he had been meditating on his covenant privileges. He had been practicing those privileges, and he took it out on the lion and the bear. Amen. He had been preparing. He had been practicing. He had been planning the word. He had been acting on the word. And he wasn't connected to fear when he got to Goliath. Yeah. No, that's good. David's heart was producing faith when he stood in front of Goliath and heard those words. Isn't that right? Because he had been built right on the inside through feeding on the right things. Hallelujah. Because of that, he was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The big, bad, ugly Goliath couldn't overcome the bigness that was on the inside of David because of the greater one living big in him. Hallelujah! And he took him. Hallelujah! When the whole Israel army is shaking in their boots, backing up every time he'd spew out his ugly, lies, David said, if Goliath was right over there, David's saying, what happens to the guy that takes him? What happens to the guy that takes him? He didn't back up. The only thing he backed up for is to get a couple stones, because that's the leading of the Spirit. He gets, I'll have tax-free, I won't have to pay taxes for the rest of the, oh, really? And Saul's daughter, really? Goliath kept threatening. Remember, the Bible said David ran toward Goliath. That's not fear, that's faith. Glory, 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 glory. What did he run toward him doing? He ran toward him speaking the word. Hallelujah. David had the sword of the Spirit out. Whoosh. Every time he'd speak the word, Goliath is going, ugh, ugh. I'm talking about in the spirit realm, he's being defeated every time David took a slice. Hallelujah. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. That's us. I said, that's us. I said, that's us. This lives different than it preaches. I'm convinced people shout in church, but when it happens in everyday life, they haven't learned yet how to do this. It's great that you hear it in church, but get good at living it. Get good at living it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I do not have a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. There's been three times in the life of this church that the devil tried to get me into fear about the finances of the church. You know what I mean by that? I mean a confident expectation of not having enough finances. And I started expecting it. Somebody said, you did, Pastor? Yeah, just like you have, just like you. But the Spirit of God, thank God, in prayer, the Spirit of God alerted me to what was happening. Amen. See, you can switch. You can make that switch and not even realize you made that switch. That's right. Yes, sir. I mean, if you're not, if you don't have a prayer life. But the Spirit of God alerted me to, wait. No. And I'd reverse that thing. And he was speaking to me through what I saw. You know, the balance is going down to bounce against zero. Anybody ever had experience like that? And you get to looking. Uh-oh. And I'm starting to expect it. Uh-oh. What am I going uh-oh for? Because I'm looking at, uh-oh, it's going down. But I caught myself. Oh, thank God for the help of the Spirit. And every time I realize, wait a minute. No. See, that's coming out of me. That balance is coming out of me. That going down is coming out of me. Ooh, yes. Yeah. You might not agree with that, but that's what that verse says in Proverbs 4:23. It's coming out of you. The devil is not that big and bad that he can do that. Okay, let me illustrate this way. You ever had the devil come keep saying, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die. You know, let's say he picks a number. You're going to die at 49. You're going to die. I'm going to kill you. It just keeps, ever had a devil keep harassing you in an area? Or you're going to get a disease or something like that? Anybody ever had that? When you know what I'm talking about, you know what he's doing. And when you understand what he's doing, you ought to say something like this. Oh, you are, huh? I got a question for you, Mr. Devil. How's come you haven't already done it?
Exactly right. Amen.
When you get that revelation that he hasn't done it yet because he can't do it yet, it opens your eyes to what he's working on. He's working on you opening the door so that he can. That's why he keeps saying, I'm gonna. He wants to get you afraid so that you open the door so that he can. He hasn't done it yet. Why? Because he can't. He's not that big and bad. We got to get a clue. He's not that big and bad. Hallelujah. This is victory. This is liberty. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I traveled all over the United States, and we'd run into pastors. We'd minister to them by the Spirit. They were afraid a certain person was going to, the biggest giver in the church was going to leave. They got offended. They were afraid. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if they leave? I said, listen, that's just fear. That's going to shut your finances down. I said, Jesus is the biggest giver, and he isn't leaving. Amen. I will not move by fear and, well, I'm going to be really nice to that person. They give big.
No.
That's bondage.
That's right.
No, I'm just going to obey God.
Yeah.
Just preach the word.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. What is it in your life? That's what God wants us to do this morning, examine ourselves. What is it in your life? And if you're not sure right now, get some time in prayer and find out.
Amen.
That is. Remember the Bible said in Proverbs 29, fear of man is a snare. You know, an animal, whenever you snare or trap an animal, it can only go so far, and that's as far as it can go. And he's saying fear does that. It keeps you from going beyond a certain. I like something one person said one time. It's like a leash, on a dog on a leash. It can only go so far. That's what fear does. You get to the end of that, and you're paralyzed. I don't know if I can succeed out there. And so what is it that you're going to the end of the devil's leash and he's got you? You can't. He keeps you from going. What is it? Find out. And then do like David started hitting that thing. Amen. This is spirit of faith, family, church, not spirit of fear, family, church.